Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 210 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again. Today on the show, we've got lots of stuff to go through. We're going to have a little bit more fun than usual, which I like. We will have to have a little bit of a discussion about a shooting that happened in Edmonton that involves some police officers and a teenager. It's almost a similar story to what happened in Tumbler Ridge. And the reason why we're going to actually cover that, and we'll do that first to get that out of the way, is there's some commentary, I think, that has to happen around gun control, around public safety, around politics that applies to this situation. So anyway, we're going to deal with that right away, get that done. As well, it is your last chance for the Raining Guns contest. Like, you're literally down to the last day and a half, 2 days here. We've got Tracy Wilson coming on to discuss the CCFR's rally in Waterloo, and it was awesome, including a special guest that showed up and a little bit of conflict over the weirdest thing. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for that. As well, we're going to reveal a little special bonus for the annual general meeting, as well as an update on the Gunny Girls documentary. Anyway, all that and more, the CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now. Thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. All right, we are back. Now, I want to make this portion of the show a little bit quick, so I'm kind of going to run through just the two items that I have to cover with you, because Tracy and I have some, we're going to have some fun in this episode, and I like that better than all the rest of that stuff. But one thing I did want to mention is that I was on social media. The only social media I really do anymore is X, right? Formerly known as Twitter. Just because the format is really fast and I don't spend much time at all on social media because I've got other things I need to do, right? And I only am willing to give social media so much of my time and my effort, right? So anyway, I noticed that I think it was, what is it, the 18th of April? I'm not sure exact what the exact date was, but it was the 1 year anniversary of the Lapu Lapu vehicle attack. Tragedy in Vancouver, British Columbia. If you remember, it was a vehicle attack. 11 people were killed, over 30 people injured. It was one of the biggest mass killings in Canadian history, a vehicle attack though. And when I saw that, I was like, oh man, that was a year ago. And I'm like, I wonder, like, this is one of the worst things that ever happened in the country's history, right? I'm like, I wonder if Mark Carney even posted about it, because I've done this kind of thing in the past. I've done this with the Toronto van attack, went around and looked at all the usual characters, right? The usual suspects on the Liberal side of the house to see if they even acknowledge these things, or they have to be firearm related for them to even acknowledge they happened in our country. And sure enough, I went to Carney's feed on X, no mention whatsoever. I went to Rachel Bendayan's feed, no mention whatsoever. I went to Polly's feed, nothing. I went to Gary Ananda Sangari's feed, nothing. And you know what it seems like? I would say what it is, but I'm just going to be generous and say what it seems like is, like, unless you are involved in a mass casualty event in Canada that involves firearms, you will be forgotten as soon as the news cycle has moved on. Like, that's it. You know? So for me, when I'm thinking about something like the festival tragedy, I'm like, where are the lasers piercing the sky? Where's the permanent marble encased memorial? Where's the park named after the victims of that tragedy? Did the prime minister fly across the country to, and all the mainstream media all assemble to remember the victims of all that stuff? Did the prime minister even take, not even the prime minister, the prime minister's staffer even take a minute to put a post out about it? And the answer is no. And you might be like, well, why is there such a weird difference between what happened in Montreal on December 6, 1989, and what happened in Toronto for the van attack, or the vehicle attack in Vancouver only a year ago? It's still fresh. It just happened a year ago. What is the difference? And the difference is one group is far more politically useful than the others. And that's why you get that recognition. Like, to me as an individual, I think all those people are victims on an equal level to each other. But it's just, it's not the way that the political people, you know, the political class in Canada, they don't see it that way. It's like, oh, yeah, whatever, that's over. Moving on. We got something else, some other thing that's, you know, capitalizing the news cycle. And I'm not even going to acknowledge that that happened just 1 year ago. But, oh, December 6th is coming up. Let's get those lasers, because they got these high-powered lasers that go through the sky that they turn on for that commemoration, right? Should those women be remembered? Absolutely. Is what happened on December 6, 1989, one of the darkest days in the history of our country? Absolutely. But the double standard is interesting, though, don't you think? Yeah, not even Gary Ananda Sangari, Polly Sansuvia, not even a post. That was more than they were willing to give, was a post. Just interesting, right? Now, I didn't post about it either, but I don't post about any of that stuff because nobody cares what I think, right? I'm not the leader of a country. I'm not an elected official. I don't represent anybody other than CCFR members, right? So I don't do that. But the people that do it incessantly for some political causes just completely ignore it for others. Anyway, just kind of an interesting thing. All right. Last thing I'm going to say is the raining guns contest. I just want to talk about that for a second. You have 2 days left, under 2 days, right, to donate $20 to the CCFR, get an entry in to win one of 100 guns that we're going to draw from. The response to the contest has been, this is the biggest contest the CCFR ever did by a long ways. And I want to thank everyone for helping the CCFR, for turning us into the organization that we are, for supporting us, for trusting us. I know I say that stuff a lot, but it's just, I don't feel like anything I could say will really ever get the feeling that I have about that across to you. So I struggle with that level of communication maybe, but anyway, the contest was just fantastic. The response was phenomenal, and it really helped our organization, and it helped us get us to a point where we can do all kinds of interesting things, which we have some things coming up. So thank you everyone for donating, for supporting the CCFR, for entering the contest. The draw is going to happen on or about May the 4th or 5th. The draw video is going to be long. It's probably going to be, I'm hoping it'll be less than 90 minutes. So I don't want it to be excruciating to watch, but we have to do it, you know, in one continuous take, because that's just how this has to be done. It has to be transparent. And I've got to get me and Wilson on. She's going to keep track of the gun that's going to be awarded, and I'm going to do the random drawing, right? So that's going to be just a little bit tricky. I haven't got everything set up to do that, but I will get it done. So yeah, May 4th, 5th, 6th, somewhere around there. And we're going to upload that video to all of our social media platforms. So it'll be on YouTube, and then you'll have posts with links to that video on all of our social media platforms. So look for that coming up. Anyway, you only have another, 40 hours to enter the contest, depending on when you're watching this. So May 1st, and I think, check all the, don't take what I'm saying as fact, because I may not remember it properly, but check ccfr.ca and the Raining Guns contest for all of the contest rules before you enter, including all the dates and times. But I think it closes at noon on May 1st, Eastern Standard Time. So I think that's when it closes. Anyway, you can check that out for yourself. But again, thank you everyone for supporting the contest and supporting the CCFR. We truly appreciate it. Okay, that's all I got for now. Let's bring on Wilson. All right, we are back, and via the internet, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
That was a good one. Yeah. I heard an awful pile of that recently at the rally, but we'll talk about that later. But yeah, good job.
That sounds good. Well, we have a little bit of stuff to go through, a little bit of negative things. We're going to talk about the Edmonton police shooting because there's some nuanced things that we need to cover about gun control and public safety and kind of the politics of gun control and stuff. And then the rest of the stuff is actually quite fun and positive, which I like a lot better than the negative stuff, but let's get started and get this out of the way. So there was a thing that happened that we're referring to as the Edmonton police shooting.
Yeah, that's right. So this is about this kid, Roman, who had some very serious, severe mental health issues. And these culminated into an actual crisis in 2022. There was all kinds of calls to police. He was experiencing hallucinations. They actually detained him for a 6-week assessment. So that's pretty serious, and diagnosed him with schizophreniform disorder and psychosis. I don't really know what that is, but it sounds terrible. And then in 2024, he was arrested again under the Mental Health Act and admitted to hospital for homicidal and suicidal ideation. So very, very, very troubled kid. And of course, he was hooked up with this other young lad, Oki Mao, and Oki Mao was selling him all kinds of drugs, and he was sold him a gun. Now the gun, they've looked at the origins of the gun. Of course, they always try and trace it. And originally it was bought legally from a pretty major outdoor retailer in 2016. It was sold a couple of times legally between licensed owners, and then it goes dark. We're not really sure how, but somehow it ended up being diverted into the illegal market. And this kid bought it from the Oki Mao kid for $2,500. He planned this for an extensive period of time. And eventually he went in and randomly shot a Pizza Hut employee. Weirdest thing ever. Like, I don't know what would cause them to do that. But the police have found absolutely no connection between the two of them. Shoots this random Pizza Hut guy. And then 2 days later, attacks his own mother. He lived with his mom and dad in an apartment. Attacks his mom. She escapes, goes next door, calls 911. The police arrive. She goes back upstairs with the two officers. The kid opens the door, shoots her in the face and the neck. She does survive, but life-altering injuries. Kills the two cops and then turns around, goes back in the apartment and kills himself in front of his father. Just an absolute, like, I can't even imagine what that was like for everybody involved. But the parents were apparently completely unaware that he had this illegally acquired rifle, 80 rounds of ammo. And yeah, he obviously was very committed to doing this, and he did it. So of course, out of all this complex, convoluted story, you've got Polly screaming for more gun bans. So just, it's almost like childish and insulting to the victims, but yeah, just a complete mess.
Yeah. Well, the reason why we brought this up is there's a couple of things worth providing some commentary on. And I think it's an illustration of how nuanced the conversation around public safety and gun control in Canada is. So number one, if you look at this kid somehow got a hold of $2,500, you had this guy, Dennis Oki Mao, who provided the firearm. When this kid was taken, held, had these massive mental health issues, was buying cocaine and cannabis from this Dennis Oki Mao guy, and was able to come up with like $2,500 to buy an illegal firearm. Like, this is a motivated kid, and he's articulate enough to implement this plan that he's come up with. So in a situation like that, it is so childish and so disingenuous to say a gun ban would have solved this. If he hadn't have gotten this firearm, he could have easily gotten one that was illegally imported or illegally manufactured in Canada. Their gun control did not play any role here at all. That's the first thing. And I think it's just so disingenuous to blame it on gun control. Because in the big picture, like, this reminds me of Tumblr Ridge, right? Where you have this ongoing issue and severe, like, the most horrific mental. What do you do with people like that? You can't just throw this kid in jail for the rest of his life. At the same time, society can't tolerate having this kid rampaging around, shooting random employees at fast food places, right? So these are very complicated situations, and they are not solved by a gun ban. And then we have to sit back and watch the government go, okay, well, just roll out a gun ban. Probably just be like, well, that's an assault style weapon. And had the confiscation program, the buyback been rolled out, you know, this never would have happened. Like, we have to tolerate that kind of conversation in Canada, all while both of those parties I just mentioned are fine to sit back and watch this happen forever. Just continue to happen by distracting the conversation away from the real problems and the complex solutions that we need to gun control and their agenda. Like, they're totally happy to do that. And of course, the government's like, we have our solution. It's a political solution. Problem solved. If it happens again, whatever, maybe we'll talk about mental illness next time. But this is what we need for this election cycle. So, and the other thing I want to mention is the idea of registration. We, as a gun or licensed gun owner, I want to know where that gun came from. And I know for sure it came from this Dennis Okemau guy, who I think should be charged with murder, spend the rest of his life in jail, if not worse. I would rather have seen him actually, you know, prosecuted in a place like Florida, where I think he would get the penalty that I think he deserves for that kind of thing. But nonetheless, we're in Canada, right? So I want to know how that gun got there. If it was domestically sourced, I would want to know that. But the problem is that gun owners are inherently against registration. Why? Because we don't want to be accountable for our firearms? No, because the government, right since the early 90s, have abused that privilege, have abused gun owners, licensed gun owners. They're like, okay, well, we need to know where these guns come from so we can trace them in case a crime is committed and also hold people responsible for their guns. But you know what? We're not doing this. We're not going to take your guns away, you right-wing conspiracy theorist. We're not going to just get that information and ban guns and then come and get them. And they've done this over over and over, where they say they're not going to do it. They get some information, they turn around and they ban guns. And then they go, well, but we need to register the rest. And don't worry, you know, we're done with the bans. Right up until like literally a year ago was the most recent ban. So whose fault is it that there's no actual registry to link that gun right from its origin all the way to the hands of this kid? It's the government for acting in such a psychopathic manner where they continue to lie and betray people and then pretend like the next month, pretend nothing ever happened and come up with the same story. We just want to, you know where these guns are, you know, and we won't ban them. And they turn around, they keep doing it. So it's like, man, put the blame where the blame belongs.
It could also have been from a break-in, you know, maybe broke into a gun owner's house or a store. Like, we don't know that information, but they've abused the ability to use that. So that's why we don't have it.
Yeah, because they can't be trusted with that information. Like, that's the bottom line right there. Why can't the government have that information? Because they've shown 20 times over the last 30 years that they can't be trusted with that information. They're not responsible enough to handle that information. So I just want to take that opportunity to talk about registration specifically because it's really important, right? So anyway, I just look at stuff like that and I'm like, government, this is why you can't have nice things, because you can't be trusted. Yep. So, and now as a gun owner, I can't trace that all the way back to its origin. Why? Because you guys have been abused that. So just really important. All right. Enough of that for now.
Okay.
Now we're going to have some fun. So you planned, organized, and carried out a fantastic rally, you along with our volunteers, of course, and don't want to leave them out, rally in the Waterloo region. And tell us the story, Ms. Wilson.
Yeah, so we've been doing these rallies in jurisdictions that have signed deals with the Liberal government to help confiscate their firearms. And of course, as you know, the Waterloo Regional Police Chief has made that decision. So we organized this big rally Friday, April 24th. I had all kinds of cool speakers there. We had Member of Parliament Blaine Calkins. He's the Conservative Shadow Minister for Hunting, Fishing, and Conservation. We had three rock star brand new MPs, MP Connie Cody, Dr. Matt Strauss, and Kelly DeRitter. Just absolutely awesome. They came out and spoke, and that was great. Then we had Emily Brown. She's the candidate of record for her riding, but you know her because she's also like a champion trap shooter and a former gunny girl. And then this one was interesting. We had Ryan Davies from Northern Perspective, not even a gun guy, but he came out because this, you know, goes across all political lines, right? It's about property rights. It's about government confiscation. It's about abusive political process. So that was awesome. And then a couple of days before the rally, I got a phone call from the leader's office, and Pierre Poilievre wanted to come to our rally. So he came out, he spoke to everybody. It was absolutely awesome. He's very inspiring. Of course, the crowd just loves him. We sang "Oh Canada." We played "Gun Grab Gary." We played Brett Kissel's "Our Home" theme song. It was just absolutely awesome. And my volunteers, they helped me look like a real pro. And I cannot even express in words how grateful I am to them for everything they do. And they just do it perfect every time. Just amazing.
Yeah, they're an awesome. We have just the best volunteers, awesome people. Now, something like this, as well planned as it was, isn't without its hiccups. You had to have a little bit of conflict, at least. What happened with the city people?
I never thought on a beautiful sunny Friday afternoon I'd be getting in a fight about porta potties, but that's exactly what happened. So this rally was from 4 to 7, and City Hall closes at 4:30. That's where the public washrooms are. So from 4:30 to 7 o'clock, you've got nowhere to go if you got a piddle. And I was thinking, you know, I try and think of everything, every scenario that could happen. And I just had visions of, you know, lineups of rally goers with their flags and their pro-gun signs asking to use washrooms at local businesses. And I thought, you know, this is our rally. It's our thing and we can do it. It's our constitutional right. But I don't want to impact local businesses or, you know, peeve off anybody in the local area. And I also don't want people wandering down the alley or out in the parking lot, watering the bushes, if you know what I mean. So I'd ordered just 2 porta potties. That would be plenty, right? It's not going to take a lot of space. They're not going to be right in the town square. It's not going to be an eyesore. I'll put them at the back. So the guy comes to deliver them and they're offloading them off the truck. And the mayor comes out and says, yeah, that's fine. Just put them right there. And next thing you know, these 2 ladies from the office, I don't know who they were, what their roles were, but they seemed to be pretty bossy with the mayor. And they came out and they're like, you are not putting those on city property. And I was like, well, I guess I am. Like, people have to use the washroom. It's a basic human function. Like, this isn't up for argument or debate. And I don't want all the things I just mentioned. So she's like, you're not offloading them. And I'm like, well, I'm kind of done asking for permission. I'll just beg for forgiveness. And I look at the guy with the truck and I'm like, get those off the truck. And she's like, leave them on the truck. And this went back and forth for a couple of minutes. It was very tense. And one of our volunteers, Damien, said, look, I'm going to go. There's a church there at the corner and a little patch of grass on the side of the parking lot belongs to the church. He's like, I'll go talk to the church. And I thought, oh, I don't know how that's going to go. He went up to the Wesley United Church, knocked on the door. They answered the door. He told them the dilemma, dealing with these unreasonable women from the city hall. And the church is like, absolutely no problem at all. Put them there on the corner. And that's exactly what we did. Problem solved. Big thanks to Damien for being such a good negotiator and saving me from, an eventual argument with these ladies. But what a contrast between dealing with people like the Wesley United Church, even my police liaison officer, Scott Lehman from WRPS. He was awesome. I got 1,000 to 1,200 people there. Somebody's going to have to use the washroom. Like, yeah, just totally unreasonable. But anyways, problem solved.
Yeah. Well, what do you say about people like that? That are just like, nope, this is the most important issue. You are not taking those off. You're not. It was the rally was 3 hours.
Yeah, it's 3 hours.
And it was like, you are not doing that. And even stepping over the mayor. People are so petty. They're so shallow. It's just that's so worthless. But anyway, whatever. We got what we needed. So thank you to the Wesley United Church for doing that. What a great cooperative, charitable thing to do. Appreciate it.
Yes.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention about this is sometimes people don't understand what it takes to organize a rally like this. Mm-hmm. So you know, I just give, I have a list of a couple of things. You went and you got a permit. That takes time and a little bit of money and an effort. You got bathrooms, you got porta potties for people. You had to arrange for politicians and any of the requirements that they had. You had to rent a PA. We typically for rallies like this have signs printed so that we have a kind of a unified message. And then you end up with less homemade signs that might, you know, if you guys remember the F. Trudeau stuff and like, you just don't want stuff like that because we're trying to get attention in the media and for our own purposes as well. You have to promote it. You need insurance. A lot of times if you're going to these things, or it's too far from your house, you're traveling. We got to arrange volunteers. Yes. You had water. We had the CPC leader there. You brought in flags. Like, I just want people to understand, like, the rally that we did in Quebec cost the CCFR, and we didn't pay for absolutely everything, a lot, but not everything. And, you know, that cost $5,000 and probably took 40 hours to organize, maybe more.
Our volunteers worked, like, there was so much work involved in organizing all of that. And that's, you know, people like to say, oh, I'm helping organizing this, but no, you're actually not. Unless you're doing all of these things. So
yeah,
I am so grateful to everybody that actually has helped with this stuff on the CCFR team.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Yep.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the AGM, and we got some treats for you. So let's just get started and you'll see what's coming up, what's going to happen. I know you're excited, Wilson. Oh, speaking of Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This is my one last thing from the rally I want to talk about. I'm up there on stage yapping about something, and I spy this lady out in the audience in the sea of people, and she's holding a volleyball. And I was like, what is going on here right now? And so she made this for me, and it says the CCFR on one side, and you roll it around. She used the Wilson, the sporting company, and it says, we're with Wilson, hold the line. I absolutely love this. I just thought it was so awesome. And I carried it around the rest of the day. Polyev was asking what's going on with the volleyball. But yeah, anyways, it was fantastic. So a big thank you. I'm going to find somewhere special to put this.
That is awesome, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not just awesome. It's actually awesome.
It is actually awesome. And everybody had a good laugh. It was funny.
All right. So the CCFR AGM is coming up in Mississauga, Ontario. And what's the date? The 23rd, May 23rd?
Yeah, May 23rd, it's a Saturday. It's at the Sandman Signature Mississauga Hotel on Dixie Road. You can find all the details for this at ccfragm.ca. But it's going to start off at 10 in the morning with a business meeting. You and I are going to do an Ask Me Anything, which is fun. I always like that. We've got the Saskatchewan Firearms Commissioner's Office coming. That's Bob Freeberg and Blaine Beaven, absolute heroes for Saskatchewan gun owners. They're going to tell us all about the fun stuff they've done. We're going to do a fireside chat with Randy Arsenault. I love that guy. He's the TikTok cop. He's a public safety expert, a public speaker. He's fantastic. This is new. We're going to have a message of hope and perseverance from our friends Ryan and Tanya at Northern Perspective. So they're coming too. And then my girl, Sheila Gunn-Reed, is our keynote speaker for dinner. We've got the laser range coming. So I can kick your butt in a shootout. We've got the CCFR merch shop being set up. We've got little AGM gifts for everybody that comes. A crazy, delicious prime rib dinner. There'll be chicken parm if you don't like beef, which you must be crazy. All the trimmings, the salads, the sides, the desserts, everything. A cash bar, complimentary wine on tables. The premiere of the Gunny Girl documentary. And it's only $75 per ticket. Go to ccfragm.ca right now and get your ticket and come party with me.
All right. So you glossed over something important. This was the little treat in the middle. We are going to be premiering the Gunny Girls documentary is complete. Well, from when we're recording this, it's going to be complete in a few days. But by the time the AGM rolls around, we are going to premiere the Gunny Girls documentary there. So no one is going to see it. I've seen it. You're going to see it because I'm giving you a working copy. But other than that, no one has seen this thing. So if you come to the AGM, you're going to get everything that you mentioned, and you're going to be the first to see the Gunny Girls documentary that we did. It's 22 minutes and 30 seconds long. And I think it turned out really, really great. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to show you the trailer to the documentary. It's only a minute long, but check it out.
I've received comments that it kind of sexualizes women.
Some of the things that are said about the women who have participated are actually disgusting.
Liberals love to dress up a girl who's never handled a pistol and put her on screen. But then when you have real live women who have those skill sets, we're treated like criminals.
The federal government has now made it illegal to buy, sell, or use roughly 1,500 different types of guns.
Firearms are huge on so many levels in my life.
I'm actually feeling a little emotional because I'm so protective of this. I'm like, I just got started. I'm not a bad person.
I'm just a mom to three kids.
We're not scary people.
They don't understand the firearm, so they're scared. They think, women out and shooting, why would you do that?
If I could speak to the detractors, you know, all the people who are criticizing it, it's not for you. It's for them.
You know, I actually get goosebumps watching that. I just love it. I am so excited. And it's very exciting for all our girls. So, yeah, super good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, that was supposed to be out at Christmas. So
everything's
it's out
on
in
fire
May.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm about 6 months late, but it was a little, the first part of this year was completely insane.
Yeah. Nuts.
So anyway, that got done, and it got done with the help of a good friend of ours, Grant Woods over at Woods Media. So
yes, he's awesome.
Yeah. Really, really appreciate that help. And he's done a fantastic job editing it. Okay. Now, the last thing I wanted to mention is just, we've gotten a lot of help at the CCFR from people. And I find that every time we do a podcast at the end, you know, people sometimes ask me, you know, hey, Dad, you know, in your podcast, do you ever, you know, ask people to help the CCFR? You ever tell people, ask them to become members and stuff? And I'm like, I sort of do at the end normally, but I thought we would just go through a quick little inventory. If you want to help the CCFR do all the things that we're doing, you know, we would gladly accept your help. So maybe we'll just kick this back and forth. You can become a member of the CCFR for $40 a year. You get $5 million worth of insurance and whatnot. And also access to the CCFR app, which within mm-hmm. the app, you can watch the podcast. You can get special alerts. You can buy stuff. You can make donations. And you get access to our business member directory. And basically, you get a special deal. So for anyone that is a current CCFR member, you get special deals at all these different retailers. And all you got to do is open the app, show your current CCFR membership card, which is actually in the app. And so it's updated in real time so they can tell that you are a member in good standing and get a deal that nobody else is getting. So yeah. Why don't you throw a couple things in?
I always like to say, if you shop enough, the membership pays for itself.
Totally.
But yeah, you can donate to the CCFR. That's helpful. And you can actually be an insider. So for those who don't know, if you donate, what is it? It's $20 or more a month, every month.
That's right.
You get added to our insiders group. And once a month, Rod and I have a kind of a one-on-one meeting with these guys and girls. And that's where sometimes we leak stuff. They get to ask us questions directly. It's actually a lot of fun. We do a Christmas party. Yeah, wear crazy Christmas sweaters. It's fun. You can volunteer for the CCFR. Send an email to volunteer@ccfr.ca and come and help us with all this fun stuff that we're doing.
Yep. And of course, you can take part in contests or events like the Raining Guns, right? You only have 2 more days left before Raining Guns is over. And of course, we'll be doing the draw for the Raining Guns contest. I don't know, it's probably going to be 90 minutes. You and I will figure out a way that we're going to do it together because it's a little complicated, but we're going to be doing that on or around the 4th or 5th of May because that video is going to take both of us to do it and it's going to be very long. It's going to take actually a bit of work to make that video. So anyway, we're going to get that out as soon as possible. So any way that you can possibly help the CCFR, we really appreciate it. I can't tell you how much.
Yeah. And go to the merch shop and get stuff. And then look, if you're not in a position to do any of those other things, sharing our content is super helpful too. So share this podcast, go on our website, share stuff from there. And that's a huge help. We need people to do that. So yeah. Thanks to everybody.
Well, and we didn't talk about this in advance, but one last thing. Hopefully, I think it's fairly soon, we will be having another bunch of inventory, old discontinued inventory coming into the warehouse. So you'll have some more deals in the clearance center like we had a little while back. Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be very soon, the next week or two. So keep an eye open for that.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, because that's something you're working on. I don't know what the status of that is. And I just found out. See, I not only can I watch the podcast, but I'm getting the information even when we're making the podcast.
It's like you're an insider.
Yeah.
You're finding things out.
All right. That's awesome. We covered everything. We took a little while. I think it was about 25, 26 minutes. But thanks for the update. And I guess I'll see you in the next one.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 210 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks everyone for watching and listening. Make sure you share the podcast, get everybody involved, all the things I normally say. How can you tell I'm getting tired of this, the dialogue that I opened the outro with? But anyway, you know all the things. Okay. Last two things. Raining guns. If you're watching this and there's still time left in the contest, go to ccfr.ca, find all the contest rules, read them before you enter. If there's still time, get an entry in there if you can. And if not, the draw is coming up somewhere around May 5th-ish. Then the AGM. Tickets are running out for that. Our agenda at the AGM started pretty sparse because we were all running around. Nobody really had enough time to actually deal with it the way that you know, it should have been dealt with. But the schedule is packed. It is going to be a barn burner. And we got all this cool stuff, including the world premiere, as it were. I don't like to overstate, but the premiere of the Gunny Girls documentary, and it's pretty good. I've watched it and it's pretty awesome. So anyway, I'm really proud of it. So that'll be happening there too. And of course, you're going to see all of your like-minded community individuals, community members there. It's going to be awesome. So go to ccfragm.ca if you want to get in on that. Other than that, if you want to become a member or donate, you can do that at ccfr.ca. Thanks everyone for watching. Take care. We'll see you in the next one.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.